The Fellowship of the Tables is my title of my sermon. How many ever heard of a movie, The Lord of the Ring? How many have not watched it yet? Really? Okay. Well, it's a good movie. It's a good movie. It's a trilogy, right? It's the first one, titled The Lord of the Ring, The Fellowship of the Ring. That's the subtitle of that one. And the second one, I think, is called the Two Tower or something. And the third one is The Return of the King. And so, I don't know, if you have a chance, that is a good movie to watch. I know it's a little old. It's I think the first one was out 2001. I know some of you are like, whoa, that's ancient movie. But some ancient movie is pretty good, you know. The Lords of the Ring are written by the guy, I think he's Irish or some Tolkien, right? And for some of you who are not familiar with the story, it's talking about this. There are many rings in this story. A lord, a king, so to speak, by the name of Sauron. Let me tell you about the story of the Lord of the Ring. Okay, Sauron, his name. He the person who make iron, it's called blacksmith or metalsmith, something like that. Basically, they make together rings that represent power. So they make several type of rings. So at that time, all the creatures of the universe lived in peace, and so this Lord Sauron make three rings for the elves. The elves and the dwarf lives in the Middle Earth. Okay, Middle Earth, it's another Earth. So three rings for the elves king, the king of the elves. There are three kings of the elves, and there are seven kings of the dwarf. You know dwarf? Kurcaci, you know dwarf? Seven rings for the dwarf. And then make nine rings for the king of men. So there are nine kings of men, seven kings of the dwarf, and three kings of the elves, and Lord Sauron make them all. And then he make one ring, the most powerful ring, to rule them all. Okay? So that is the story of the ring, that one ring to rule them all. It turns out Lord Sauron has an ambition to dominate all kingdoms of the earth. That's the story, okay? And so he make this one ring so that this one ring, whoever wear that one ring can have power and domination over all the kings that wear the other rings. Make sense? This is the story. So three rings of the elf king, seven rings of the dwarf rings, and nine rings for the king of men, mortals, they call it. All of them are less in power than this one ring. So the story of the Lord of the Ring, pretty much that the elves king figure out the motivation of the Lord Sauron, and then, you know, they attack the Lord Sauron, cut his finger, took the ring, and then you know, bring, you know, bawa lari gitu, they took the ring away and hide it from Lord Sauron, because they figure out if Lord Sauron ever wear that ring, he's gonna have power, and he's not a good lord, he's a bad lord. And so, and then they want to destroy this ring. So the story, the whole trilogy, is about the ring that is entrusted to a hobbit by the name of Frodo Baggins. How many remember this? This is a long time ago, right? Frodo Baggins, and he was trusted to bring the one ring to the mount called Mount Doom, because this ring was made in the mount room, and nothing can destroy it unless someone bring the ring to Mount Doom and have it melted down and get rid of it. You know, Lord Sauron, when he made that ring together with the blacksmith, he invested most of his power into that ring. That's why it's so powerful. So the whole trilogy of that is talking about how Frodo Baggins and his friend Samwise Gamgee, all this name, you know, is bringing this ring to Mount Doom. And of course, Lord Sauron is in the background trying to take back his ring, right? So anyway, that's the Fellowship of the Rings. But today, I'm going to talk to you about the Fellowship of the Table. It has many, many similarities to the Fellowship of the Ring, but it has some different. And what are the similarities? Well, it is also made by one Lord. The ring was made by, of course, it's imaginary, right? It's a story. It's a very complicated and very clever story by Tolkien's. But this one is real. This is not imaginary. There are three tables we're going to talk about, the Fellowship of the Tables. And the tables are ordained by a Lord, a good Lord, Lord Jesus. Okay, that's one similarity. And the second one is that this table, just like the ring, can influence. So in the story, whoever wear that ring, you know, whoever wear the ring is influenced by the ring. It has extra power. It can be invisible. But at the same time, the ring will influence because the ring was made by the bad Lord, right? So when the ring was worn by someone, it can influence the personality. And that person will be hunger for power because Lord Sauron made that ring in order to dominate the kingdoms of the world. So, in the movie, you got a character that was already corrupted by the ring because that used to be a hobbit, but now there is someone by the name of Gollum. How many remember Gollum? My precious, something like that, you know. I mean, if you go watch the movie, it's very, very interesting. But Gollum was formerly a hobbit that was corrupted by the ring. He wore the ring too long, and he was corrupted. And you know, and anyway, influence. This table that I'm going to talk about today also have the power to influence you for the good. So that's the second similarity, the power of the table. It influences you. And number three, unlike the rings that corrupt you but give you power, this one gives you blessings. There are lots of blessing on this table. So I'm going to talk about tables. There are three tables that I want to... It's a simple teaching. A lot of you are familiar with what I'm talking about, but that's okay. I'm summarizing for you today. There are three tables that are ordained by the good Lord Jesus. Okay, how do I have a clicker here? No auto battery. Okay, you're going to click for me then. Just go ahead. I only have very simple three slides. And the reason for the three slides... It's because I prepared it this morning. Well, I just come back from the wedding of Pastor Danny's first child. Her name was Sasa, Carissa. Okay, so the whole family drove to LA on Thursday. Arrived at 3 a.m. in the morning because Yance put his retainer, he got the retainer, right, for the tooth, and then put it in the bag with the food, like some kind of sandwich, and mom didn't know, in one of the rest stop, throw out the whole bag along with the retainers into the garbage, and we already drove like 1 hour away from that rest stop. So, and then I said, the first thing that I asked him is how much? How much is it if I have to replace it? Oh, it's very expensive. It's two sets in there, $800. Okay, $800. Okay, we go back. So we went back, you know, 1 hour, went back to the same rest stop, dig the garbage. And of course, he didn't want to dig the garbage, but I saw $800 there, so I dig the garbage. So I took out the whole thing, and then, so that's why we end up arriving in LA at 3:10, 3:15, something like that, and then the next day, we took the opportunity to go to Disneyland. Yeah, So because turns out, I asked my smaller kid, when was the last time you go to Disneyland with me? You know, with me. Never, right? So I said, okay, but you didn't remember when you were like about 1 year old, I took you to Disneyland. He said, never. So I said, okay, fine, you know, let's go to Disneyland. But 1 day ticket per person is $124. You know, so you multiply that by five, it's over $600 just for entrance, not counting for food and everything. That's an expensive local vacation to Disneyland. You know, I mean, like, wow. But anyway, we had fun, you know, but we arrived there at like noontime, and, you know, Yanche is the most cost-conscious person. He said, okay, we arrive at 12. We should never leave here until their closing time, which is midnight. So, you know, we live close to midnight. You know, he didn't want to lose anything, you know, but so anyway, you know, sleeping at 3 a.m. and then, you know, and then we came back at midnight, and, you know, it's a tiring. I mean, this, it's getting better for when your kids is getting bigger, they can kind of entertain themselves. But I know some of you with little children, when you go to Disneyland, it's fun, yeah, but it's not a vacation. Let me assure you that. It is work. Hard work to go to, you know, with little kids anywhere, actually. But anyway, last night, I didn't have another thing. I left my preaching file at home. And I plan to fly back this morning. I flew back from LA. I have everything. I email everything to my notebook, my file for preaching. But then yesterday morning when I tried to connect to home, it's not connected. So all my preparation and everything is in my computer over there. I tried to get it, I couldn't. So I had to redo my whole preaching yesterday. And yesterday was kind of full because, you know, we went for the wedding party and all that, and I slept at 2, woke up at 5:30 this morning. So I slept at 3. I feel a little cold now because I didn't have much breakfast. But anyway, we're all good. We're all good because the power of the Word of God is in the Word of God itself. When you receive it with faith, the power of the Word of God is there, not depending on the person. The person can be tired, the person can makes no sense, but the Holy Spirit is there to guide you in understanding the Word of God. So let me pray a quick prayer to prepare your heart. Lord, we ask your help. Your Word is wisdom, your Word is power, but it is not powerful unless your Holy Spirit is empowering it in our heart. So God, we ask for your Holy Spirit to empower your Word in our heart and help us to open up our mind and understanding and our heart to receive your Word fully so that we can benefit from it and it can build our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The table number one that I want to talk about is family dinner table. That is ordained by the Lord, family dinner table. It may look many, many different shape and form. We're talking about only a table that all of us come together to have a dinner. And it is a very special place in a family life because that is one place that everybody usually gather around in a family. And the importance of the family table, family dinner table, is not only a place to gather around. There is a health benefit of people, a family that is known to have a more occasion of having a dinner together in a family dinner table. Research has shown in children that usually families that eat together more often have healthier eating habit in the children. And they also prevent drugs abuse in children, usually. When people come together and parents have a chance to spend time with the family, it prevents drugs abuse. Also, it helps developing a healthier emotional well-being, avoiding depression, and so on and so forth. So this family dinner table is really good habit. And I want to encourage all the families to have that kind of habits. more often than not. But more than just emotional or health-wise, this table is actually ordained by God Himself. This table is a place that blessings are distributed from generation to generation. There is a story in Genesis chapter 27 that talk about Isaac. Isaac is one of the father of the Jewish people. His father's is the name, I believe, is Abraham. I think Abraham has Isaac and Jacob, right? Isaac and Esau. So, and from Isaac, there is the 12 children of Israel, 12 tribes. So, is that right? No. Isaac has two children, Esau and... Really? That's right. Okay, anyway. And this Genesis chapter 27, if you remember the story, Isaac was old, and this is the time for distributing blessing. And the way they do it is, interestingly, before the blessing was distributed, Isaac called for a meal to be prepared for him. So a meal in a family. This is just a story. Let me just go ahead and read it to you. When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and that's the tradition. You pray the prayer of blessing to the older son and said to him, "My son." And he answered, "Here I am." He said, "Behold, I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now, then, take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game," game mean animals, "for me, and prepare for me delicious food, such as I love, and bring it to me so that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." So, what, if you're familiar, I mean, there's Jacob was tricky and tricking Esau that was old and with the, you know, pretending that he was Esau. And why Jacob went through all kind of trickiness? Well, number one, Jacob was tricky. But number two, because he understood that there is a blessing that when your parents pray for you, there is a real blessing. And in fact, that's what happened. Jacob became a great nation of Israel and a chosen nation by God Himself. When God fulfilled the promise to the children of Jacob, what He promised to Abraham. So Jacob understood there is a blessing to be had by the parents laying hands upon his life. And so he tricked his way by the help of the mom to get this blessing. And the interesting thing is this blessing is distributed during or after an eating event. And actually, this is teaching us that in the dinner table, there are multi-generation blessings that are flowing. Understand this. God ordained family at the beginning, and God said to Adam and Eve, "Go and multiply, have children, offsprings, and fill the earth." Okay? And that same covenant is from Adam and Eve, to the children, and to the children's children, and to all generation. It passed down the blessing from the Lord. And usually it is distributed, according to the Jewish custom, it is distributed after a meal. That's why until today, you know, the custom of you know, a celebration in the Jewish culture, it's always there is a meal involved. In a family, this blessing, we don't actually follow Jewish custom, but in our family, in modern family, I find that a lot of us are too busy to have family dinner. And if we do that, though, if we miss family dinner, a lot of wisdom from generation do not get passed on. A lot of blessing, a lot of good principle do not get passed on. And I say this not to condemn those of you who do not have this kind of tradition, but I'm encouraging your future. If you have a family, if you have children, keep this tradition alive, because what it is it allow God to help you pass on all the wisdom, all the principle, all the blessing that you attain in your life to your children. It is very important to eat together in a family. I myself had that. I'm blessed to have that kind of tradition in my parents' family, but my parents were not Christian at that time, so they did not understand the importance of the dinner table. So I had a good and at the same time bad experience. You know, good experience is always happy time to eat my favorite meal. My mom was a Hakka Chinese, so she liked to make Hakka dish that, you know, it's a pork samchan with sweet and sour and hot. Sauce with cucumber, and cut in it. It's my favorite. Anyway, I had a great time there. But at the same time, it is also a bad time for me. My dad was not a Christian. He's a very tough man. He didn't have a good childhood. He was disowned by his mom, who got married again with another person, and his mom disowned him. He never raised up in a good family, and so he learned to survive since his early teenager. He smoked and befriended, you know, not so good part of the society, and so he was a tough man, and he didn't know how to raise a kid. And so my interface when he was younger, this is the younger version of my dad, was one of a difficult relationship. He always find fault and put me down and hit me and stuff like that. So dinner time was when he seldom had dinner with me. He just go wherever he went, right? But once in a while he would be home, and that is the time that I dreaded the most. I didn't like to be in the same table with him, because when I was at the same table with him, I already know what's coming. He's gonna find fault. So I will be eating with him, you know, once in a while, and this was when he was younger, so afraid to make mistake or say the wrong thing. That is totally not what God wants in a dinner table. In the dinner table, there is a multi-generation flow of blessing. And it also talk about acceptance. I accept you, my children, and children say the same thing to the father, that I honor you, I respect you, I recognize your contribution and in my life, and I recognize that you hold the blessing that I need. I think that is a, you know, but that's the younger version of my dad. In the later part of his life, he become very friendly. I guess older people get friendly, I don't know. I mean, you know, friendly, you know, a few years before he died, we restore relationship. And, you know, we had good time going eating. You know, whenever I visit Indonesia, I love to just sit with him and listen to his story. And he has a lot of story. You know, old people has a lot of stories. They tell the same stories over and over again too, right? I mean, that is a good thing, you know. I mean, don't get offended, you know, just because you already heard the story thousands of times. Because somebody said that to learn some principle, you have to hear the story over and over again. That I guess that's why God designed it that way, that old people tell the story so many times, the same thing. So we restore relationship. But back to this family table, it is ordained by the Lord. You need to have it. You need to have more often. I know that modern people, because we are so busy, you know, I mean, everybody's schedule is different sometimes. And sometimes, you know, I just eat at 3 o'clock in PM because I didn't have time to eat my lunch, but then dinner time is at 7 and everybody hungry, but I am not. So, you know, I would try to find excuse, right? Oh, I'm so still very hungry, and you know, can I eat later? But I learned, even if I'm full, I want to be there. Sit down, even just kind of eat a little bit and eat more later, or if I'm really full. But usually, you know, that's not a problem. I can always eat a meal, you know, when I sit down. But I tried, because that is a time when I just enjoy the fruit of this life. My children are my fruit, right? Those are all God's blessing. I'm gonna So I just encourage family, have dinner together. And if you have that kind of family, you are blessed, because not only it's a generation blessing, it's also a place, if you know how to do it, it's a place of acceptance. Do you know that one of the biggest problems in today's youth is they don't feel belong anywhere? They feel lonely. And dinner table, if it is done right in a family, is a place of acceptance. You, when you're eating together, what it's saying is this: the host accepts you for who you are sitting at the same level. I still remember, and this is very discriminatory, but I remember in my childhood, our family will eat, but the servants, of course, are not eating at the same table as us. They eat at in the kitchen, but they are not invited to eat at the same table, right? I think that is either racist or discriminatory, but that's the practice, right? Whoever that are invited in the table, either they are part of a family or recognized as a friend of the family, they are invited. The place in that table is only by invitation, either a specific, explicit invitation or implicit, you have a place in the table. You understand? So when you are sitting together in a family, that means you are accepted as a part of that family. It's talking about acceptance. That's why psychologically, children who eat together with their parents, they are healthier emotionally because they feel accepted. They feel belong. This is my family. I'm eating together. And Jesus displayed this eating together. Somebody said, the whole ministry of Jesus is filled with eating occasion. If you read, it is true. Jesus ate with a lot of people. That's why Jesus was often criticized. I don't have the verse there, but Mark chapter 2, verse 16 says, this is criticism of the Pharisees. When the scribes of the Pharisees saw that Jesus was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they said this to his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Do you understand? The tax collector thinks that Jesus is a holy man, but yet Jesus ate with sinners and tax collectors, the two group of people that the Pharisees hated or don't like very much. Jesus ate with sinners. Do you know why Jesus ate with sinners? It is talking about acceptance. Jesus accept sinners to his table. You have a place, Jesus said, in my table. That's why you are there. That's why I'm eating with you. The last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Here I am standing at the door. Knock. If you let me in, I will enter and eat with you. Eating is a part of acceptance and fellowship. You accept Jesus, Jesus accept you. And so I want to end this one table, the story of this one table, with an encouragement that you open up your family table to friends, especially families, members of this church. Open up your dinner table to the younger generation in the church, if you can. If you can afford it, if you have the opportunities, it's a good thing. Our church is unique in the way that we are visited by a lot of younger students from Bay Area colleges. And when they came here, they have, most of them have no friends, and this is a new place, new countries. And to find a families that are willing to open their house and eat together, that is a huge blessing. It will establish their faith foundation, knowing that the Church of God is like a family that loves them. And so I just encourage, if you have an opportunity and means to do that, I need all of us to open our family dinner table, to just invite people. I love the occasion in my house. We have a lot of eating together, not only our family, but friends from church. Just come, and you are also welcome to come to my house for dinner anytime you want. Well, not anytime, but let me know first. Because when I say anytime, I'm anytime, but Chi Jen probably not anytime because she was the one who prepared the food. Just let me know a day ahead. Hey, I'm planning to stop by. Are you available? And most of the time, yeah, we eat every day at home. Just join our family. And if you don't want to cook, you know, just let, if you're too tired or too busy to cook tomorrow, the next day, just let me know, hey, are you cooking tomorrow at your house? I will say, oh, sure, let me ask first. But I say sure first, but let me ask after that. Yeah, so visit me. I'm planning to do this more regularly with my family, meaning every Thursday I want to invite everybody, someone in the church, Thursday to have dinner at our house. I think I always enjoy it. Some of the friends of Yanche and Samo, you know, they come unannounced, but only one or two people. They just come unannounced and eat whatever we have, and they have little complaint, and I'm happy about that. But anyway, so that's the first table. The second table that I want to talk about is called the table of the Lord. It is the Holy Communion, also known, this table, this Holy Communion, or the table of the Lord, is known by many names. The Catholic and the Eastern Orthodox churches call it the Eucharist. Eucharist. Eu mean good, charis is blessing. Eucharist. Okay, that's the table of the Lord. Some churches call it the Lord's Supper or the Lord's table. And this is the table that is celebrated by Christians in the whole world for all generations. And we celebrate it every first week of the month. Like today, we are celebrating the Lord's table. And this table, the tradition of it, is originated by Jesus himself during his last meal. During his last meal, go ahead and click that. This is what happened. Remember, Jesus was crucified on a Friday, but a day before, he sat with his disciple, and he sat with them and teach them. And it, in that table, that Last Supper, we call it, Jesus said this. This is my body. He had a Holy Communion. Well, he didn't call it the Holy Communion then. It's just supper, the Lord's Supper. He's just eating together with the disciple. But during that one last meal, he said, "This is my body." He broke the bread and he gave it to the disciple. And he said, "Which is given for you," symbolizing. So the bread is symbolizing his body. "Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup after supper and saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." So he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." That's why, because he said that, do this eating of bread and drinking of cup, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." That's why we celebrate it. That's why Christians everywhere, from the time Jesus went to the Father until today, until forever, we are celebrating that, because Jesus said, "Remember." But not only we are celebrating the Holy Communion, remembering that, when someone, let me ask you this, when someone asks you to remember me, what actually do you remember? What part of that me is being remembered? Let me ask you that. Let's say that your grandfather or grandmother, you know, almost die. Hopefully yours is not almost die. Yours is living long. But let's say, pretend, grandma or grandpa or great-grandma or grandpa almost die. And he said to you, "Please remember me, okay?" What do you think that person means? Huh? Remember the advices, right? That's good. The words that has already been said. What else? What do you think the grandma or grandpa wants to be remembered when he said, "Remember me"? Time spent together, the experience, right? The experience, the whole thing. That's actually exactly what Jesus meant when he said, "Remember, do this in remembrance of me." So whenever we take the bread and the cup, remember what he said, remember what he did. What he did, the next day, he was crucified, paid for the sin, and he was risen again. But what he said, Now, let me tell you, during that dinner occasion, the book of John, chapter 13 to chapter 17, talk about the conversation Jesus had during that Last Supper. And what he said at the table, that conversation, turns out was the major doctrine of Christian faith. John chapter 13 to 17, everything he said in that dinner occasion, that conversation, for example, serve one another. He was the feet of the disciple. Servant leadership. That is one of the big one, doctrine, servant leadership. Number one. Number two, love one another commandment. It's number two. It's also there. Love one another. The promise of the Holy Spirit. That's another big one in the Christian doctrine. That is also in that conversation. And this one. Go ahead and click one more. John chapter 15, verse 15 says this. There's a promotion and blessing for those that sit at the table. He said, I no longer call you servant. Because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends. Why? Because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. In that dinner table, that Last Supper, the Lord's table, during the conversation in that table, there is promotion. You see promotion there? I no longer call you servants. You're not just following me just like a servant serving a master. You are a friend. Now I accepted you no longer as a servant. I accept you now as a friend. At the Lord's table, remember this. We know of everything that we need to know about the Father because Jesus has made known to us during that one conversation that was recorded by John. John chapter 13 to 17, go read. If you want to know the basic of Christian doctrine, is right there. That's why Christian, all generation, celebrated that Lord's table and read John chapter 13 to 17 intensely to shape a doctrine of what is a Christian. If you read 13 to 17, John, you will know what does Christian believe, what makes us different, what makes our faith different than other faith. It's right there during that last conversation at the Lord's table. That is godly, you know. In the dinner table, that's a generational blessing. In the Lord's table, that is God's blessing, spiritual blessing. Okay, so that's what it is. That's what we celebrate. That's what we celebrate. We are all accepted as a friend of Jesus. Now, after a while, you will hear the same ideas, what I'm trying to say. It's recognition and acceptance. In the family table, you will find recognition that you are a part of the family and you are accepted as one, accepted in the table. In the Lord's table, you will hear the same idea. You are accepted. You are recognized as friends of God. So, this one, we call it sacrament. Okay, sacrament of the church. There are several sacraments in the church. There's the Lord's table, there is a wedding sacrament, there's a baptism sacrament, there's other sacrament that other churches celebrated, but we usually do only concentrate on these three, right? Because our church is young, we don't have a sacrament of the death. In the Catholic Church, there's a requiem. You know requiem? Well, requiem is the celebration of life of a person that just died. It's a service. It's a sacrament. Okay? But we celebrate in three so far. Hopefully never the fourth one, the requiem. But we celebrate. Then this is one of the sacraments that is important to define our Christian life. So what am I saying, Pastor? What are you saying, Pastor? Why you want to say this one sacrament versus the other? Sometimes we are too busy, and I understand emergency. For example, a mom would have a baby and need time off from church for 30 days or what have you. Husband tried to come on the first week of the month to take the sacrament. Because when you take the sacrament, it is symbolic, in number one, symbolic that you are belonging to the church. You maintain the bond because this is Christ's body. Jesus said you take the body together with everybody else. So you maintain that bond. But more importantly, there is a spiritual blessing, I believe, in understanding that we are accepted by Jesus as a friend. It's talking about revelation. It's talking about spiritual growth because we receive revelation. We receive teaching because that's what happened during that Last Supper. Jesus just unloaded everything. You know, this is last moment. He need to unload all the thing that he has heard from the Father to the disciples. So if you read John 13 to 17, it's a long, long monologue by Jesus. So long chapter, usually Mark is very short chapter, right? It's full of action. But in John, it's a long monologue, you know, on and on and on. Because why? Because Jesus was unloading everything because he was about to go. Anyway, when you participate in the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, the Eucharist, there's a spiritual blessing in it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. If do everything you must not to miss it on the first week of the month. The last one, the last table, I do not have much to say because it is a future. It's called, let's go ahead and read that. The Marriage Supper of the Lamb. And go ahead and click. In Luke chapter 22, Jesus hinting that this is going to take place. Okay, he's talking to the disciple. Of course, the disciple is the apostle that he trusted. That one day he said, this 12 apostle will judge Israel. He, listen, I confer on you, Jesus talking to the disciple, just as my Father has conferred on me a kingdom. So God the Father gave Jesus the kingdom of the world. But Jesus then conferred to the disciples. Disciples, you're going to be the kings so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. So the disciple will be eating, but not only eating, and you will sit on throne judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So Jesus is saying that there is this table in the future in his kingdom where his 12 disciples is going to eat, and after that he's going to judge. But it does not end there because not only the 12 disciples, many, many others will be invited also. Can you click one more for me? Listen. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. So not only the disciple, but there will be many, many invitation, and I'm praying and I'm hoping all of us are part of the invitee to have dinner in that table. This is the future. I don't have much to say about that, but I only know this. During that dinner, when all of us who believe Jesus come, we are being recognized as the children of God. An heir. Heir means someone who inherit. Heir. Ahli waris. We are being recognized as heir and accepted to sit at the table. Again, if this not soak in your head yet, at the table is always acceptance, recognition. This table is called the table of the marriage supper of the Lamb, where Jesus will receive his full authority of the real authority of everything, and we are all invited, and we are all actually is a participant, right? It's a blessing. See, at the table, blessing is always distributed. I don't have, again, much thing to say. It's the future. But this last table is talking about hope. One day we're looking forward to to be at the table. In the meantime, let's be at the two tables that God already ordained in our life, our family table and the table of the Lord. They are all talking about acceptance and recognition. You are recognized when you come to the table as a part of your family physically. When you come to the table in the church, in the Lord's Supper, you are recognized as a part of this church, as friends of God. And the way we do our Holy Communion, we do not have a requirement that you have to be a member of the church. Even visitors, as long as they confess that Jesus is their Lord and Savior and God, they can participate in our Holy Communion. Of course, to participate in Holy Communions, you have to be friends of God. Now, friends of God has deep meaning. It means you are no longer enemy of God. You are friends of God. And what makes you a friend of God is not because you are friendly or God is friendly, but because the blood of Jesus poured down, poured out, and wash away your sin. Your sin is the one that makes you an enemy of God, but the blood of Jesus makes you a friend of God. That's why you are invited. If you believe that, if you believe that now you are a friend because the blood of Jesus washed away all your sin, you are invited at the table. How many understand these three tables? It's called the fellowship of the tables. I'm trying to get through this, but it's good. It's all good. As long as you understand this. Amen? All right. So this is the where I'm going to end with a quick conclusion and invite the musician. I'm just going to read to you the conclusion. Remember, number one, that your dinner table is a place of acceptance. Older generation share the legacy. At the same time, respect the younger generation. Young generation draw the wisdom of the past generation and learn to receive the baton to carry forth our faith into the future. That's table number one. Number two, remember the Lord's table. Even if you have to miss church for a very important stuff, learn never to miss the Holy Communion on the first of the month. It is the sign that you are committed to Jesus and His body. Number three, remember that we have the glorious wedding to attend in the future, where we will all sit in the table of the marriage of the Lamb. You are accepted as a children of the Most High God, heir to all inheritance that God has promised to His children. How many say amen to all that? Amen. Let's all stand.